They have a bundle of Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy and a pair of socks. And
just take a bath with a buddy. Wii bundle. Never forget. GameStop bundled a Wii with a floating rubber duck for the bathtub. A device that you cannot use in the bathtub, bundled with a rubber duck for the bathtub. Look at GameStop. This. Power of the players.
Well, howdy, howdy, everybody. Welcome to episode 403 of the Nintendoki podcast for Monday, February the 26th, 2018. I'm your host, Tony, and joining me, as he does every week, we've got Shelby.
I realized something earlier this week. Eventually, they are going to remake every video game to the point where they have to make a new Gyromite because they will run out of other video games to remake.
They'll just keep remaking those remakes without doing Gyromite
again. Just skip that one every time?
Yep.
Dang it.
That's just like on the permanent blacklist.
No.
We'll get remakes of Ninja Bread Man before Gyromite.
I would hurt somebody.
I mean, we're getting a port of Hello Kitty Cruisers before we get a new Gyromite.
It hurts, Tony. It hurts.
I have angered Shelby's... I would play a new Gyromite. I think it would be fantastic. Maybe with this Labo stuff, that's what's going to happen.
I don't know. I just kind of want more hip Tanaka music, if I'm being truly honest, if I could get just that.
Without the Gyromite?
I mean, Gyromite's kind of some of the best. No, I take it back. I want a new Gyromite.
All right.
You can't separate
the two.
We'll
see what we can do. Shannon, get on that.
You done your job. Quiet.
I don't know who you think I have connections with.
Get Shelby a new Gyromite. I don't care what you have to do.
I make no promises, and I will need a sizable amount of money up front. You know what? Let's just go ahead and start a GoFundMe. GoFundMe for the new Gyromite game. All proceeds go to Shannon's bank account. How's that?
Wait. I see a problem.
I don't see a problem. Not at all.
No, I don't know if Shannon could be trusted with this responsibility.
No,
that's why it's a GoFundMe. It's not a Kickstarter. There's no guarantees. It's, you know, GoFundMe to try.
To be honest, there's no guarantees from Kickstarter either.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
It's kind of true.
So, there you go. And then last but not least this week, we got Ethan.
Hi.
What's going on, sir?
Science?
Yeah, I'm curious to know what you were doing before the show.
Too bad I can't talk about it.
Do you have a new Gyromite? Is that why you can't talk about it?
Well, he can't talk about it.
All right, blink once for yes, two for no. I'll know, don't worry.
What would happen is I'd blink twice and you'd say yes, yes.
Wait, there what? You go.
I'm confused now.
Double yes, got it. New Gyromite confirmed.
Blink louder. I can't hear.
I mean, how hard would you have to blink for it to make an audible sound?
How close can I get my eyelashes to this microphone?
Yeah. Let's give
it just a because shot. Your eyelashes rub against the microphone, that doesn't count. I want to hear like the slap of eyelids.
Wow. Slapping. Okay. I don't know. I feel like we crossed some sort of threshold here.
Did we cross the line?
I don't know.
Need like some super directional mic.
A laser focused microphone?
Yeah.
This is.
I think they call those cameras. You know, think about it.
Electron microphone.
You can hear things that are really small.
Have they invented that yet?
Yeah, it's called a microphone.
Oh. Well, all right. There you go. So, all right. So now, according to this intro, we need a new Gyromite. I want to hear people's eyelids flapping.
Ugh.
And Ethan is doing science. So, There you go. And Shannon's going to figure out how to make money off the whole thing.
Yep.
Well, that sounds that sounds all right. That sounds like a standard Nintendo Oki podcast.
All right. Well, there you go. So let's take a quick break here. We will come back and we will talk about some video games. Ethan, what have you been playing this week?
Video games.
Really?
Yeah.
This podcast could be 15 minutes long if I all gave that answer. The What's in Your Wii segment would be 10 seconds long.
What if someone had been playing something other than video games, though?
I mean, okay, well, we're getting a longer show now.
All right. Are there any specific video games that you played this week, Ethan?
Sure, I played Monster Hunter World.
Yay!
With people like Shannon.
Yay!
People like Shannon or Shannon? If you just found some dude named Walter that kind of looks like Shannon, that'd be impressive.
Okay, so I played it with Shannon.
Okay.
You played with other people.
Well, the other people were there and they were helping me after I semi-abandoned you.
Were they all named Shannon?
No.
Were any of them named Walter?
This one guy had the name Walter White. It was really weird. Wow, that little joke is lost on you guys.
Yeah, don't know what that is. I'm guessing it's some Doctor Who reference. Let's move on.
No, it's
Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Never seen that show either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, it's a smash hit, meh.
It's not your cup of tea.
Okay.
Or coffee, or whatever you drink.
Or meth.
Or.
Jeez. It's a rapidly shifting palate we got here.
Well, that's what the show's about.
Oh. Oh, that show. Oh.
Yeah, it's about meth and cancer.
I take it back. I have seen that show. I've seen the first episode, or parts of the first episode, and parts of the last episode, because. Somebody else. Never watched it on my own volition, but I feel like I've seen everything.
Well, to be honest, the best episodes are the ones where they're making the meth together.
I don't want to talk about that.
It's just hijinks. That's all it really is. Anyway, moving on from that.
Just kooky fun.
All them wacky meth heads. Oh, boy. Them rascals are at it again.
This show is so weird.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I need to up the rating on this show.
Talk to me about building things, not making things.
Well, I built a new sword instead of armor.
Okay, sweet.
And you got three of the pieces I needed.
Yeah, I sure did.
And I only needed the one, but you got three of those.
That darn desire sensor, you know, Monster Hunter, you could play the same monster 20 times and still not get the one piece you need.
That sounds like a great video game.
It is. Me and Caleb go in by ourselves, fight this monster. He gets the thing I need, and he's like, well, you know what to do. I gotta go. Leaves. Shannon goes with me on the next round, gets three of the item I need, and then he's gone. And so I do the same thing probably another seven times. I don't know. I'd have to check the stream. I'm streaming all this crap now. So you see me do this fight like about seven times, and I finally get two of them.
Yep.
And I am not pleased that it took that long.
Is this game... Okay, so it's sounding like Monster Hunter, a lot of the gameplay is padded, and the gameplay involves you doing the same things over and over to try to get the right drops to do the armor and weapon stuff you want, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was playing the odds, and the odds were not in my favor.
This sounds like a glorified clicker. You do the same thing over and over till you get what you want.
Yeah, but this is more fun.
Is it?
Because I have a cat that follows me around, and he's awesome.
I'm going to refer to Monster Hunter from here on out as that dinosaur clicker until somebody proves me wrong.
Oh, no.
You're so wrong, and That would get you hurt in the wrong neighborhood.
Eh. Well, good thing I don't hang out in Dinosaur Town.
You might not want to go to Japan and call it that dinosaur clicker either.
Ah, they can't. I mean, don't speak Japanese. I don't know what I'm saying.
Yeah, but some of us have importers that live in Japan. We can deliver messages.
If somebody comes and beats me up because I called Monster Hunter that dinosaur clicker, they need to chill out. Get a hobby that doesn't involve killing the same dinosaur over and over.
You say that, but you haven't played it.
No. I mean, by ostensibly, I could refer to PSO as that space clicker, so I'm not saying one's any better than the other. When you think about it, every video game is a clicker.
PSO, but no, thanks, Sega? For nothing. Yeah.
Gyromite's that robot clicker. Duck Hunt's that bird clicker.
Bird clicker?
Oh, look, there's a TV clicker.
Every game's
Mario's
a clicker.
Just a plumber clicker.
Yep. Animal Crossing's a fruit clicker. Wow, Animal Crossing is a fruit clicker. All right, that one resounds a little more than the others. I would accept bug clicker.
So, besides Monster Hunter, there was Brave Fencer Musashi.
Yeah, I watched you play a little bit of this week.
Oh, that's cool. Did I do good?
I mean, the parts I saw, you did good. I've never played the game before, so I couldn't really tell you if you were doing, great or not.
What kind of clicker is this?
It's a samurai clicker.
Okay, yeah. Great. I know everything I need to know about this video game now.
It's a PS1 action RPG.
Yeah.
Made by Square Enix. It came with the Final Fantasy VIII demo disc. As a selling point.
Final Fantasy VIII demo disc?
Oh, yeah.
This isn't a new release, right? This is...
This came out in... What's it say on the box?
Okay,
here?
Well, I gotta make sure, because as many times as Final Fantasy games get remade, I don't know if they put it out like on the Switch or something, and I just had no idea, and they put a disc in the box that works with the PS1. I don't know. Weird things happen.
It's been like, what, 97 or so?
October 31st, 98.
Okay.
I was thinking 98, I just wasn't sure.
Yep. Is this one of the ones where the sticker for the demo disc was larger than the logo of the game?
No, it was actually printed on the on the art.
Oh, wow.
And it's probably like, I don't know, maybe an inch, maybe 2 inches wide and like an inch tall. It's not bad. So we've been playing that. I don't know who was watching me today. I had like two people watching me, and I was doing horrible. I got like two game overs.
Wow.
Are you just streaming everything you do anymore?
Yes.
Okay. That's cool.
Well, Twitch has achievements, and I like getting achievements.
Twitch has achievements?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
My goodness. Mm-hmm. I did not know this.
Okay.
And I'm like halfway to affiliate on their achievements, and I think one-third of the way done on a partner.
Partner. So what does this all mean? Is this like a monetizing thing? Or
it means I could get monetized if I meet some of those criterias, I think.
Oh.
But I lack the viewership, so of course it's not going to happen, but I can meet the streaming times, so that's cool.
You can do it. You just be confident.
You have to do it in a month.
Oh.
Like, in a single month, you have to meet, like, all this criteria. Well, if I keep doing this, like, every day, that month can't reset.
Well, here's the thing. You need to hook up that Xbox One. You need to buy that Player Unknown game. And then you need to be, like, either really good or really bad at it. And then I think you could hit your number.
Well, it's funny you mention that, because we played Minecraft Switch Edition the other day, and that's got the most views of all my past videos so far.
Minecraft is a dirt clicker, by the way.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
Waiting for the whole show to see how we go with this thing.
I I got to jump in at this point because I did play Minecraft this week.
Okay.
I died again on my first night.
What'd you play it on?
Playing it on Xbox.
Okay.
I'm confused. Like, my idea of a house was a hole in the ground with wood at the top, so I could just hide. That was the best thing I could do in one day. And then I got out, and it was dusk.
I'll just dig a hole, and I'll throw hole dirt on top of the hole to make a ceiling. That's my house.
I threw wood. It wasn't dirt. I didn't want it to collapse in on me. So I kind of...
Your house was a grave?
Like, what are you died? You were already halfway there, Shannon.
I got out, and it was dusk, and then I got killed by this weird skinny gray thing with purple eyes, and I don't know what I was doing wrong. So. I also still haven't found this supposed tutorial. I don't know what I'm doing. I feel so old.
Not every clicker is for everybody, man. You got to find the right clicker for you.
Sorry, Ethan.
I don't know. It's fine. I mean, I just dropped how you were playing Minecraft into the chat.
Oh.
So, Tony and I got... Was it Sam?
Yes.
Yeah, we had Sam from the Facebook group. It was open invite for anyone else. No one else showed up. And they built stuff. I just made a mess.
To be fair, I just sort of flew around looking at everybody doing the stuff they were doing. I watched Sam make a giant soup can and then cover the giant soup can in water, which was fun.
It became a Jell-O mold.
Wait, you covered the can with water or he filled it up with water?
No, he covered it with water because he was trying to hide it. He was ashamed of it or something like that. So
don't hide it with a translucent substance.
Well, you can't really see through the water.
You can, but you can't.
Okay.
It's very, very hard to see through the water. So he covered it, and you can only see, like, the brightest details from under it that are popping through.
Okay.
If he didn't want anyone to see the soup can, why didn't he just take it apart? Can't you just do that? It's Minecraft, so I thought you could just, like, take it apart.
Well, it's like building a building. You get so far into construction, it's like, oh, well, this looks wrong. And it's like, well, we can fix it or start deconstruction, but deconstruction's gonna take a while.
Just cover it. Built another structure around it? That seems like even harder.
No, he just took a bucket of water, poured the bucket of water on top of it, and it covered the whole thing with water.
Yeah, water just spreads out from a source block.
On a vertical... I imagine this thing being like a building sticking up out of the ground. Was he building like a mural? It's a building.
It was a building. It had a surface area on top, and he put the block of water on top of that block, or those blocks. It spread across that and then fell off the sides and kept going, because it's a source block. Source block meaning it just continuously makes water.
Yep. Okay, so he just basically built a water fountain on top of a soup can.
Yes. Sure.
Okay, I get that. So he made his own soup waterfall. That sounds delicious.
There you go.
I don't think they had that in Wonka's factory.
No, it was chocolate.
Yeah, it's like one of those chocolate fountains. You go to a Chinese buffet, except it's like chicken noodle soup coming out.
That sounds all right.
That sounds pretty good.
You have to have a really powerful pump to get the noodles up that high, but you know.
So Tony was flying around looking at what we were doing. Sam built that thing. And I eventually figured out something to build, and it took longer than it should have, but it was pretty awesome when it was done.
Oh, we had a lot of fun with that thing.
It is... how do I describe this
thing? It's like a sheep cannon.
It is sorry, a thing what? That uses.
It's a sheep cannon?
Sheep.
It's a cannon that shoots sheep.
You can replace sheep with whatever. Water. Yeah, living creature, and okay, it could be that cannon.
Zombies, creepers, villagers, it could be anything. Any mob from the game.
Hearing you guys talk about Minecraft like this piques my interest, but I need somebody to walk me through this game.
Well, as soon as Microsoft releases that Better Together update, we can play Shannon, together.
I can play that with you sometime, since I do have the PC version.
Okay.
And so I have Xbox the Windows version, 10.
Yeah, so Tony could join us too on Windows 10.
That's true, I could.
Okay.
I'm just not going to go and pay for Xbox Live so I can join you, so, ha.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
We'll figure this out off mic. We're good.
There you go.
Okay.
All right, is that it, Ethan?
Unless you have anything else to note from the Minecraft incident.
Just that raining sheep is a lot of fun. Indeed. And hilarious to watch.
What are you buying?
I got Bayo 2 in, finally.
It's not your Spanish romance novel or whatever?
Well, before I opened it, I patted down the package, and I was like, well, this feels thinner and plasticky this time. And it doesn't feel like a book. So, yeah, it was Bayo 2 when I opened it.
Nice.
That's a witch clicker, by the way.
It's still funny.
So would Bullet Witch be a witch clicker or a bullet clicker?
I mean, it depends on your interpretation.
Hmm.
Whichever part of that word you put the emphasis on.
You know, it's so hard to nail down video games anymore. Genres, you know, every game is every genre at this point. Sometimes they're bullet clicker, sometimes it's a witch clicker, sometimes it's both.
I'm pretty sure that's all I bought. I can't remember.
Okay. All right, Shannon. That means you're up. What have you been playing?
What clickers have you played this week, Shannon?
Oh, man. All right. So, I played more Monster Hunter, that dragon clicker. Dinosaur clicker. Yeah.
Dragon clicker is Dragon Quest.
Oh, okay. Yes. Okay. My bad.
Every video game only gets one noun. We're going to run out of nouns pretty quick.
I finally saw credits. I am now doing post-game stuff. When I came out of the main story, I was HR 29, and then Ethan and I, with the help of some other folks, we did that what I'm guessing is the last assigned mission, where you have two tempered Basil Goose. You're giggling, which makes me think that there's more.
Basil Goose? What did you say?
That's what it's called.
Is this a goose made of like a greener?
You know what?
Please tell me yes. Lie to me. I don't care.
No, it's not. It's this terrifying flying monster that drops grenades and does bombing runs. Like, I don't.
Hoping it was a goose. It was already flavored with basil. That sounds delicious.
It's pre-cooked.
Oh, man.
Well, you are during the explosion.
Yeah. It's pretty awful. Yeah, so like I'm doing post game stuff. I still need to fight that Xenojiva, which is the big bad, crazy, insanely large monster at the very end of the game. I need to fight that more and more and more until I can finally finish that armor set.
I'd finished it.
Yeah, I know you did.
And the sword.
I got my dual blades out of it, which are really just big claws. Like I feel like Wolverine running around slicing up monsters now.
Calling all the monsters bub.
I need to. He's like, hey bub.
That was a terrible Wolverine. Hey bub.
I know. Hey bub. That's all I got. Let's see. Also I've been playing Bayonetta because I guess I didn't get a chance to talk about it. Well, let me talk to a merchant first.
Oh, I wasn't ready. You threw it on me. I was too busy thinking about your Wolverine.
What are you buying?
Bub.
I picked up that Bayonetta collection, and I've been playing through Bayonetta 1. I don't think I ever finished it on Wii. And I have not played Bayonetta 2. Like, that was a point of contention in this house for a while around its initial release, and then I think going through some of the female empowerment videos and stuff that came out of the Bayonetta 2 release, you know, around the month or two after the game originally came out, Lauren was okay with it. So finally getting a chance to play that portably makes it easier to play, and it looks amazing, which is awesome. Let's see. I have also gone back and checked out some of the DLC with Radiant Historia. So, review is on the site. Mm-hmm. What I'm going to say about it is I am sticking with my opinion. That game would have been perfect had it not been for the DLC.
Okay.
Some of the things that are in that DLC set, I would say the majority of it, it's all little 2-block downloads. So the 3DS still runs in block sizes. It doesn't give you exact file sizes.
Yeah.
But when an item tells me that it's 2 blocks...
That's tiny.
I'm imagining it's just a unlock key for content that's already in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really irritating. And the majority of the stuff is little 2-block downloads. So it's stuff that's already there. Yeah. Let's see. I also picked up Forza Motorsport 7. So, still playing the racing games on Xbox One. Those are good. Forza 7 seems littered with microtransactions and loot boxes, which none of the other games up to this point have had. So, I don't know how much I'm actually going to enjoy it, because it feels like my progression in the game and my ability to get new vehicles for new races is all locked behind these chance boxes, and it's really a crummy system. When
did video games start to be stupid? I don't know, about maybe 5 years ago.
I just want to know, what was the big game that made loot boxes so popular? Was it Overwatch? Is that the turning point for the industry?
That was one of the more noticeable points.
So Overwatch was what, 2016, 2015, something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
I don't know.
Video games are expensive to make, and it's a way for them to make more money. They've taken it too far. People are revolting. The government is stepping in, which is always a good sign. So don't worry. The loot boxes ain't going to be around much longer, certainly not in their current form.
All of the other Forza games have had the ability to buy tokens so you can get around the in-game currency. So like when you win races, you get Forza credits, and then you have an ongoing Forza wallet that just holds all of your credits that you win from races, that you win from your drivatar doing stuff, or just whatever. That's your in-game currency. Then you use that to buy the vehicles that you add to your garage that you can just use whenever. You can also buy tokens, and each in-game vehicle, you can spend real money to buy tokens, which you can then trade for vehicles. Now, that token system in every game up to this one has been, like, when it gives you the tutorial on it, you're given the option to hide it from every menu. This game did not do that. Forza 7 did not. So, like, when I play Horizon 3 or Motorsport 6 or Horizon 2, I already have that token stuff hidden, so I don't ever have to worry about Travis pushing a button and, oops, now we spent $10
oops,
on...
Oops, he bought a bunch of Smurf berries.
Pretty much, yeah. And I don't have to worry about it being a temptation there, because then, I mean, we all know I make terrible decisions when stuff is placed in front of me, so... it's kind of a bummer that this game has made it so in your face, and the loot boxes, you're not really ever knowing exactly what you're getting. That sucks.
Yeah, it's almost as if it's exploitating towards human psychology. Funny how that works.
Yep. Let's see. We can move on from that. I also picked up Blue Reflection. So that's that Persona slash high school. I don't know what exactly to call this, but it looks interesting. It's an RPG in the vein of Persona with a bunch of high school girls.
Yeah, it's like a magical girl JRPG kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to checking this one out, and I think it's now gone from everywhere because Koei Tecmo dropped that thing to $20, so I grabbed it. Let's see. I had some of the guys from my Sunday school class over to the house, and we played some party games. We did Overcooked, which I think I hate that game.
Yeah, me too. After playing it, turns out it looks like watching people play, it's more fun than actually playing it yourself. I decided.
Yeah, I'm very firm on the fact that game is way more difficult, and having a history of working at a restaurant, I do not enjoy that. So
what was weird to me is like I like the idea of, you know, like a frantic thing and like trying to do stuff and food, like Cook Serve Delicious was pretty fun until like, oh, to buy the whole game. So that kind of thing is fun and interesting to me, but I just didn't like the way that game controlled. Like it was frantic enough with things moving around, but the controls were just so loose. Like I couldn't even walk across a bridge or something. I would just slip off the side. That turned me off.
I felt it wasn't very intuitive either. It's like simple things of like having to pick up and drop an item before you can chop it. Or like, why can't I just walk over to the cutting board and start holding square to chop the item? I have to actually drop it and then pick it back up when I walk away. Or like I'd find myself half a step away from a place, not carrying the item I thought I was carrying. So
yeah, it doesn't feel, it really kind of as tight as you would expect for something that's so frantic and you got to move so much.
Yep.
But that's the game. So I just decided, you know, it wasn't for me. Some people really enjoy it, so that's cool.
We also played Smash Brothers. That's always fun. 8-player. Nothing matches that on the Wii U. I hope it comes to Switch.
Don't worry. It will.
Not like I really want to buy the same game again, but they keep putting nails in the coffin of this Wii U for its being hooked up in my living room. It is two steps from being put in the closet, which really sucks, but there's not much left that hasn't been ported that I see myself still wanting to play. Let's see. We played Mario Kart 8 Deluxe on the Switch. We did that with Joy-Cons, and this is the first time doing multiplayer for me on the Switch. So like any time we've done this in the past, we've done it using the Wii U. I was surprised that from the moment you do multiplayer, all of the tilt controls, the drive assist, the forward assist, all of that stuff is turned on automatically.
Yep, it is.
Yeah, we didn't realize that was on until we all started the first race and everybody's going, this isn't working the way it should. So.
Yeah, it annoys my kids to no end when they have to go in every single time and turn that off.
Yeah, it seems like it should be something that you can pick from a menu, and I'm surprised that never got patched in.
Yeah, like just a toggle you could turn on, like, yeah, like, that's weird.
Yeah, anytime a Grand Prix was started, it was, everybody had to go back in and turn that stuff off.
Every time you started a new set of races?
Yeah.
Boo, earns. That's lame. Like, I can understand, like, you first turn on the game, like, first time you go into that mode, but, like, after that, it should, whatever. That's dumb.
Yeah, it's silly, but the game still plays really well, and there's no issues playing that on 200cc, whereas it feels like the Wii U struggled to keep up a lot of the time. We had issues with frame skips and stuff on the Wii U. But the Switch doesn't have any trouble.
I struggle to keep up at 200 cc's.
Well, 200 cc baby park, nothing matches that. So that's the only way to play that track. Let's see. I also hooked up the PS2 and the GameCube. So we did some Soul Calibur 2, Soul Calibur 3 on the PS2. I had Burnout 3 sitting out. I'm not sure if anybody played it. It was just one of those, if we were doing a 4-player game on the big TV, I had a CRT set aside so other people could have something to play. So I know we sat down and played Melee, which going from playing Smash 4 to Melee is a huge difference. And playing those side by side in the same evening, I will say Smash 4 is a superior game. I don't care. Come at me, bro. Smash 4 is better.
Talk about me getting people mad when I said Monster Hunter was a dinosaur clicker.
Oh, I know. I know. I probably just made a bunch of enemies. But playing those games back to back with the same controller, because we took the GameCube controllers over to the GameCube and over to the Wii U, playing those games back to back, Smash 4 looks better. It controls better. It feels better.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying, you know. Yeah, I mean, not surprising. That game is made two generations later, whatever, so.
Yeah.
People are just so attached to Melee for whatever reason, which I get it. I played a lot of Melee, trust me. But,
yep.
I don't know. Let the GameCube controller die. Let it go. It's okay, people.
The last one on my list, I am playing for review. This is a game called The Longest 5 Minutes on Switch.
Yeah.
This is provided to us by Nipponichi Software America. This is a RPG that is set up kind of like a visual novel. And let me give you the lead in. The game starts with you at the final boss fight.
Your pet frog jumps down a hole and you got to get in an awesome car to go save him. Wait, that's not my game, sorry.
The protagonist that you are playing as, Flash, does not remember how he got there, who he is, who his friends are.
Sounds like a JRPG.
It is a JRPG. It is.
You got feathered hair?
Yeah.
Got a big sword?
Not yet.
Not yet. It's coming, though, isn't it?
That's what it seems like. Man, it's super pixelated. It looks like it's got some really nice pixel art. It looks like a game that could have come out of the I'm not going to say NES. It looks like an SNES JRPG. It's got an interesting story that it's telling. If it weren't for the amnesia being such a cliche for a JRPG, it's just nice to see that they're using amnesia in a new way. It not happening until the end of the game seems unique, and they're using it as a story method. So, like as you're trying to remember things, you see the longest 5 minutes is essentially the boss fight. So you have a timer whenever you're against the final boss, you have a timer that's counting up from zero. So you kind of see, you're kind of tracking your progress on the 5 minutes that this boss fight is supposed to last. I'm enjoying the fact that the game is following a very narrow path. One thing that a lot of games of this style do is they give you a big open world and a ton of side quests and missions and stuff to do before you even get to the first fight. None of that in this game. You are constantly trying to regain your memories, figure out how you got to where you are, and you're earning what they call re-experience. So that's kind of like the only thing that counts in the game, because the as you're reliving these memories in your head, they the items that you equip, the items that you use, the experience that you get in these little snippets, they really mean nothing as far as the end game, so far as I can tell yet. But everything that you do in those flashbacks earns you re-experience, which does count for the end game. So the end game, which is actually the start of the game, which is actually the end of the game. So from what I understand, this game should only take about 5 to 8 hours. And I got 2 good afternoons to sit down and play it. So I'm hoping to have it done soon. Any questions?
No.
Okay, that's it for me. Shelby?
All right. Shelby, what about you?
I haven't played that much. I think maybe I've played a grand total of 37 minutes of Persona 2, so that doesn't move very much.
That Persona clicker?
Yeah, that clicker of the heart, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, I haven't been making progress on that very well. I've been busy with stuff. Also, I played that robot clicker. So,
You know,
okay. Really?
It's a sequel to the first Robot Clicker.
Okay. Robot Clicker 2.
Yeah, Robot Clicker 2. They've improved on a lot of things. When you click on the robots this time, sometimes the robots click back.
Nice. Whoa.
Yeah. Groundbreaking, I know.
Sounds like my kind of clicker.
This clicker is also known in some regions as Titanfall 2, so if that helps for some of our overseas listeners, maybe. This bit's getting dumb. Anyway, Titanfall 2 on PS4. Got this for Christmas, I guess the most closest Christmas.
Most recent Christmas past.
What? Yeah, I'm not big on it. So off the bat, I put the game in, like, okay, I'll probably have to run some sort of update or install because video games, you know, it's an online multiplayer game mostly. I just want the single player. I care not about the multiplayer. I'll never touch it. I just want to play the single player just because I like robots. And I can't remember the last time I played a first person shooter. I was trying to think. I remember playing Halo 4. Surely that wasn't the last first person shooter I played, but it might be. It's the only one I can remember.
You mean Alien Clicker.
Yeah. Thank you. So I put it in, and of course there was an update. A 16.5 gig update.
Good grief.
That I could not skip. I could skip it, but I could not cancel it, which is frustrating because I know it's downloading updates and stuff for multiplayer. I don't know. I imagine it probably is, which I will never touch. So, great data cap. Thanks. I really wish there was an option to cancel that or something like that. So now I just had to download 16.5 gigs of stuff that I'll never use and delete later. Like, it's frustrating that you don't have an option to cancel that or something like that. Data caps are a thing, developers. Come on.
Yeah.
That's really, so that started me off really, really happy. Like, well, great. Thanks. Anyway, I put the game in. I was able to skip the download, or I was able to start the game without having to finish the download. And so the game booted up or whatever, and I tried to click on the single player. It's like, no, you can't do that. We got to install. Like, okay. I expected this, so I had to wait for the install to get far enough for the single player. And started that and started playing through the game. It's fine. It's really well made and everything. I don't know. It seems like every time it does something cool, like, oh, I'm in this robot and I'm smashing buildings and doing stuff over here, it'll do something dumb that just kind of makes me roll my eyes. I've lost count of the times I've tried to do a wall run and I've bounced off of something in the geometry and just fallen to my death.
That would be frustrating.
It happens. That's how wall runs work in real life.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. And clearly, I haven't played it that much. I don't have the hang of it like some of the people that are very good at it, I'm sure. But I don't know. Like every time I do a wall run, I have to think twice. I'm like, all right, am I going to do this? Am I going to jump off? Because you can double jump too. So if you wall run, you push the button to jump and you continue to hold the button and you'll wall run, but you have a double jump. So, you know, I always want a double jump. So I'll push the button and then I'll push it again. But I'm wall running at that point. So I push it again and then I jump off the wall and I just fall. So it's me. I mean, it's fine. I understand that. I'm an old man. But, you know, like when you have to like wall run off a wall, one wall and jump to the other wall on the other side and go back and forth, I'll fall on that like 3 or 4 times. There was this one particularly long one where I have to do it a whole bunch and like go back and forth between like different phases and stuff like that to get through walls and things around fire. I fell on that a bunch. Like, whatever, roll my eyes. I don't know. I kind of kept playing it because I feared, or suspected rather, that if I stopped playing it, I may never turn it back on. So, I don't know. I stopped playing it shortly before the show. We will see if I go back to it or not. I don't know. It depends on how close I am to the end, I suppose. I think it's only like an 8-hour campaign or something like that, which is fine. That's perfectly a normal length, what I expected, but I don't know. I'm not real big on it. We'll put it that way. Plus, you know, running around, shooting people and blood splurting, it doesn't sit too well with me given recent events and the way things have been going these days and stuff like that. So, I don't know. A little too violent for me, so not big on that one. But, you know, it's cool to be in that robot and run around and shoot other robots. That's pretty fun.
What are you buying?
Nothing. Never really bought anything.
Like I said, I played Titanfall 2 today. That's kind of all I've really done. I've been really busy this week. Tony, okay. Why don't you tell me about your mysterious video game?
So I need to talk to the merchant.
Okay.
What are you buying?
I'm going to wear the merchant out. Money Clicker there. Back.
What was that? Yeah, I've been playing Money Clicker the game.
Oh.
No. I picked up some stuff for the Switch this week.
Okay.
Nice.
So I picked up a couple for me, but I'm going to talk about those in a minute. I picked up another game, though, that Andrew had been begging me to play because he's been obsessed with videos on YouTube about Splatoon. So I grabbed a copy of Splatoon 2 for him.
Cool.
Thanks.
And I started playing earlier today.
Did you play the single player or the multiplayer?
I played through the first section, I guess you could call it, of the single player stuff. There's four levels in there. You have to, you know, in the single player game, the Zapfish is missing or something. Mm-hmm. And you have to go find these Zapfish at the end of these levels. And then after so many in each section, you'll fight a boss. So in the first part of the game, you have to find three of them and then fight a boss. And I did that.
Okay.
So I finished the first level, I guess you could call it. You
fought that big toaster oven thing?
I fought the big toaster oven thing, yes.
The game's cool design. It's weird. I like it so much.
It is incredibly weird, and I love it. Absolutely love it.
Yeah.
I personally really was only interested in the single player stuff, because, you know, I'm not a huge competitive multiplayer guy.
Right.
But, you know, in order to do anything in the shop, you have to get to level 4 in the multiplayer stuff before they'll let you even buy anything to, you know, customize your character. So I turned on the multiplayer, and I think if I'm not careful, I'm going to be hooked on this game. I had so much fun playing the multiplayer in that game.
Yeah?
Absolutely. And I think it's because it's not just like go around and shoot everybody, because that's not the purpose of the game, at least in the Turf War stuff. It's go out and just make everything messy. And the shooting the other players is kind of secondary to that, but I found I'm actually fairly decent at it.
Yeah, I played a good amount of Splatoon 1 online. Well, not that much. I played maybe a weekend or two, which is a lot for me to play anything online multiplayer-wise. And that was fun. It was more fun than I would have with something like Halo or something online. Not fun enough for me to ever play a single match of Splatoon 2 online, but, you know. Yeah. I would consider that before I would play anything else online, like Titanfall 2 or something.
Yeah. And I think messing around with this multiplayer and looking at it, the big reason that I like this is because the stats that it keeps and it puts an emphasis on are not your kill-death ratio like so many other games where they're like, you know, what's your KD? And if you're not, you know, 53 million kills of more than deaths, nobody wants you on the team. And this game doesn't even keep track of how many times you've died. It keeps track of how many times you splatted other opponents, you know, but it doesn't keep track of how many times you've died. And I'm really good at making a mess in that game. So, you know, playing through it, I've played, I don't know, I think 9 online matches so far.
Did you get to level 4?
What's that?
Did you get to level 4 so you can change your outfits and stuff? Cool.
I played just enough to get to level 4 so that I could go in and play around with some of the customization stuff. I think in those 9 matches, I've won 4 and lost 5, but I don't care. And that's like the biggest difference in this game from any other online multiplayer game, is that, you know, if I'm in there and I die a lot and I lose, it's not that big a deal. Even on all of the losing teams, I'm finishing first or second points wise because I'm really good at going out and just covering a lot of the arenas with the ink. And so this game, more than any other, I just found myself having fun playing it, even playing against other players.
Cool. I'm glad you're enjoying it. I like Splatoon 2 a lot.
And it was really weird because, you know, and I don't know if it's just because I'm, you know, just starting out and I'm not playing like ranked stuff right now. I'm just doing, you know, the free for all, you know, online stuff. I'm getting matched up with people that are, you know, level 20 and 30 and 40 and whatever. And I'm level 2 and level 3. And you look at that, and you're like, oh, great, I'm going to get murdered in this game. But I'm finishing first and second on my team, even though those guys, you know, stat wise are way better than I am. And so it's nice to have that thing, I think.
It's nice to play a video game and have fun.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, you know, playing games like Call of Duty and stuff like that, there's so much of an emphasis on being able to kill the other players and take them out that it's just not fun because I'm not that good at that sort of thing.
Yeah, and you just repeatedly fail and it doesn't make you feel like you're doing anything, so you're not having fun. I'm totally with you. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so because of how Splatoon is made, I think no matter what skill level you are, there is fun to be had in that game. And I find myself, if I'm not careful, I'm going to play this game a lot, like a lot. So I was quite surprised by that, actually. And it also led to an adventure today where I determined that if you actually go out places intentionally looking for amiibo, you're not going to find what you're looking for. Because I wanted to try to find just any of the Splatoon amiibo somewhere. And I didn't find anything.
You realize they don't really do anything, right? They save a loadout. Okay. I mean, I'm not going to discourage you. I think the amiibo, the Splatoon amiibos are pretty cool, especially Callie and Marie, but like there's no real value to them in the game.
Yeah, but they're cool figures.
They're very much so, yes.
Andrew is really big into Splatoon right now, and so I think he'd like them. And I noticed that today I went to, I think, 2 different GameStops. They don't even have amiibo on shelves anymore. Like, at all.
Wow.
Wow.
I went to a couple different Best Buys. They have a tiny selection of amiibo on the shelf. It's like those things are just disappearing and they're not anywhere. Toys R Us had a big section, but no Splatoon amiibo.
Yeah, a while back they were doing some crazy Splatoon or amiibo sales, like buy 2, get 1 free, buy 1, get 2 free. Like they have done some ridiculous things to clearance that stuff out, and I think I ended up getting the Splatoon alternate color pack for Splatoon 1 for like $10 or something at a Toys R Us one time. So
yeah, that would have been nice. I should have back when I saw some on shelves a long time ago, picked them up, but I never did because I was like, I'm never going to play Splatoon, so why do I need those amiibo?
Can you not find them on Amazon for a reasonable price?
No, they're ridiculously expensive on Amazon.
That's unfortunate.
So I've probably really only put maybe a couple hours into that game so far, but already I'm having a ton of fun with it.
Cool. Yeah, I've played like Splatoon 2 for like 20 hours, but never. I'm level 0 or level 1. Like I've never played a match online. 15 of those hours is probably all playing that final boss fight over and over.
Yeah, I fully expect I'm going to go through the single player and play through that because that's the reason that I wanted to play Splatoon 2. But I fully expect I'll play quite a bit of the multiplayer at this point.
Ooh, wow. I'm on Amazon, and that Splatoon 3 pack is $40-$50. Wow.
Ooh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, why are amiibo so stupid? The multicolor pack is $54.
Yeah, they're ridiculously expensive.
These things were stinking. Go into Best Buy and do a song, and they just give them to you. Why are Splatoon so crazy?
I don't know, but I'm sitting here beating myself up. I should have bought all that stuff when I had the chance.
Let's see. And then the game that I put the most amount of time in this week, I finally grabbed a copy of Fire Emblem Warriors.
Cool.
And Katie and I are playing through the story mode of that. We are, I think, on chapter 14 or 15. So we're really close to the end, I think. And I absolutely love that game.
Awesome.
You know, I'm a huge Warriors series fan anyway. And after Hyrule Warriors came out, this was the franchise I wanted them to do a crossover with. And that was basically the next one they announced. after Hyrule Warriors was Fire Emblem Warriors, and I love this game so much. It feels almost exactly the same as, you know, Hyrule Warriors, but the Fire Emblem stuff they've mixed in there makes it feel different. Things like, you know, the weapon triangle, which is a big thing in Fire Emblem, is here. And so, you know, you have to be able to know which weapon you're using versus which weapons the people you're fighting have. So, you know, okay, this weapon that I have does a lot of damage against them, or the weapon they have is going to hurt me really bad if I get in a fight with them. So you have to be really careful and pay attention to which characters you're using at what time. And you can switch between any of the four playable characters that you have on your team during that fight. So by just pressing up or down on the D-pad. What else? There was something else I noticed that was really, really interesting. I mean, the story's stupid. I mean, it's really stupid, but it's fairly typical for Fire Emblem. Basically, every single fight so far in the story has been, okay, we're going to start talking. Somebody's going to say something or do something, and there's going to be a big misunderstanding that you could have completely avoided this fight if you just actually talked with people. But instead of talking to the people, you actually fight, and whoever wins is the person who, you know, wins that misunderstanding, basically. So the story is really dumb, but that's not why I play the game. I like the gameplay stuff in that game and not the story. So I will be finishing this up, and then it has the same adventure mode type thing where there's, you know, tens of hours, you know, almost 100 hours or more that you can do after you finish the story, by doing the what they call history mode, where you play through the biggest fights in the franchise's history.
So how does that game work? I know Fire Emblem's got a ton of characters. Like, who do you play as? Do you play as the same, like, two or three people, or can you play as anybody?
So the story of the game introduces two brand new characters that are new to Fire Emblem Warriors. They're a pair of twins, one boy, one girl, and their kingdom basically has come under attack, and all of these portals open up from the other Fire Emblem worlds and characters from different Fire Emblem games, mostly Awakening and Fates. So the two most recent Fire Emblem games, but there are some characters from previous games as well. I think there's a total of 20 different playable characters on the roster, and there's already the first pack of DLC, which introduces three other characters. So it's a mix of new characters and then older characters. And before each fight, they give you a list of which characters could participate in that, and you get to pick and choose which ones you want to be in that fight. So, and then it has things like the relationship building from the Fire Emblem games, where if you have characters that have been fighting alongside each other in multiple battles, they get better and they get bonuses for fighting alongside of each other. There was something else that I had thought about just a minute ago, and I've lost my train of thought. It'll come back to me at some point, but I don't remember what it was. So just know that the game is really good. And if it comes to me, I'll circle back around to it. But I am loving that game as much as I thought I would.
Hot news. I'm on eBay looking at Splatoon Amiibo. I'm finding some Inkling boys and girls for like $10, $11 free shipping.
Really?
Come to think of it, I think my Walmart here probably has some Splatoon Amiibo, probably at normal, I imagine at normal price, probably not necessarily reduced price, but I can go in there and check at some point if you're interested.
Yeah, we'll talk after the show.
Okay.
So let's see what else. I picked up, I have not really had a chance to play it yet, Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
Okay.
Because that was the other big Switch release that's come out that I really wanted to play. And then I think I mentioned it last week, but I went while I was at GameStop looking for Splatoon Amiibo. I grabbed one of those Nyko metal kickstands for the Switch.
Okay.
To replace the ones my kids have lost. So
this is the one that stores an SD card underneath.
Yes.
Okay. I'm very curious how sturdy this is in comparison. So
I'll have to do a little bit of testing with it. It feels weird because it's a metal kickstand on the back of that plastic system, but I'll play around with it a little bit this week and I'll let you know what I think of it.
Okay.
And earlier today, while I was at Walmart, I picked up a in quotes VR headset because it was a dollar. It's just one of those things. it's just one of those things you plug your phone into to mess around with VR stuff on the Google Play Store. So
I haven't had a pair of goggles.
Yeah, basically.
Cool.
I played just a little bit of this space game called Deep Space VR, which to play the game, you actually just look at ships that are flying around in space. And when you look at them, the game automatically shoots. And so you just have to, move your head around and look at ships to destroy them.
Okay.
I actually let Andrew play around with it for a while, though, because I downloaded this Safari roller coaster game. It's not really a game. It's just,
Is this a roller coaster where you look to your left and there's a lion in the car with you? What, riding the roller coaster? Because that sounds pretty cool. Not in the car.
No, it's you just ride through this roller coaster in this safari park and, you'll see different animals and things. So there's like elephants and giraffes and lions.
I want them to be on the roller coaster with you. That sounds way better.
Unfortunately, they're not. And he was amazed by this thing. It was so funny to watch him. Heather grabbed a video of him playing around with this thing. A couple times he put his hand in front of his face because he was trying to touch something, one of the animals that was in there, and he was looking around and telling us about everything that he was
doing. Yo, there's a hippopotamus over here!
It was almost exactly like that, yeah. So, or he'd get excited because he saw a sign that said there was an elephant coming up, and so he would get really excited about that. Then he'd see the elephants and there was this family of giraffes that was walking around, and there were two big giraffes with a baby giraffe, and it was funny to watch.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Giraffes probably can't ride roller coasters. They don't have enough clearance.
they'd have to duck really low, and I don't know.
They're overqualified or something.
So I'm going to play around with that. I don't expect to get a ton of enjoyment out of.
Sounds like you already got your dollar's worth.
I absolutely did get the dollar's worth by just watching Andrew playing around with this roller coaster thing. He didn't seem to have any trouble with it. He wasn't, he didn't fall off his chair or anything like that. He wasn't getting, sick, by being on this roller coaster. And it's probably because it was a very cartoony looking graphics type thing. It's not like a super realistic 3D thing that he was looking at. He's probably going to get way more enjoyment out of that thing than I ever would. And he just likes to put it on his head and walk around with it. So, because, it opens up and it makes his eyes look really weird. He can't see anything, obviously, because it magnifies everything so much that everything's just blurry. But, he'd walk around with it on his head or put it up. And when he'd have it up on the top of his head, it reminded me of Ghostbusters with the goggles have on top of their head. So Andrew's going to get way more enjoyment out of this dollar VR headset than I ever will. But for a dollar, I'm interested in just playing around with it and seeing what kind of stuff is on there. So, but that is it for me. So let's take a quick break and we will come back and talk about the news. Okay, guys. Super Mario Odyssey this week got its first content update, I think. It added the new Luigi's Balloon World mode.
Nice.
Where in every level of the game, you can walk up and talk to Luigi, and you can either hide balloons in the levels, or you can find balloons that other players have hidden in the levels. So when you talk to him, and if you want to hide them, other players in the world can find the balloons that you've hidden, or you can go and find balloons that other players have hidden, and you wager coins on whether or not you think you can find the balloon in the amount of time. And then if other people pay to find your balloons, you earn coins based off of the people that are trying to find the balloons that you've hidden.
Are you telling me they turned Super Mario Odyssey into a balloon clicker?
Yep. They did.
Man.
They absolutely did.
Video game nowadays.
It's not without its problems, though, apparently.
Hmm.
Because a lot of people have been running into balloons that are unreachable.
I bet all my coins on this one. I gotta find it.
Because people have figured out how to break the game and hide it behind walls or in boxes that you normally wouldn't be able to get into in the game, or out of bounds where there's absolutely no way in normal play you would be able to reach it.
Great.
So it took less than a day for people to break this brand new mode in Mario Odyssey. Now, granted, that's not, you know, most people aren't going to run into those very often, but it's been enough that it's been a major sort of talking point on the internet the last couple of days. So I just thought that was funny. I've seen a couple of videos of people that are just constantly pushing against this wall, because you can see like this wall between two buildings in like New Donk City where Mario obviously can't reach, but there's a balloon sitting in there. You can see half of the balloon sticking out of this wall and people are trying to figure out how to get it. And some people are spending crazy amounts of coins to try to get these balloons that you obviously can't reach.
So do you have... can you decide which balloon you're going after? Like this one you're talking about in between two walls in New Donk City. Can you, if I turn the game on right now, could I find that balloon? Could I go to give the option to find that balloon, or is it a random draw? I don't understand how it works.
There's a list of people's balloons okay. that it gives you that you can try to find, and you pay coins to try to find that balloon. I guess it's based on what the game thinks is the difficulty of trying to find that balloon.
Is that one in between the two walls the most expensive or the least expensive?
That's a good question.
I can see it just right there. I just can't get to it.
So
you're saying we have the name of the person who was a jerk and hit it there?
Yeah, you could probably find that on the internet pretty easily. I didn't write down any of the names.
Does the person who put the balloon there get your coins if you fail?
Yes.
I think so.
All right, well, that person's raking it in.
So... yeah, I did see a screenshot of someone who earned like 21,000 coins. And you obviously can't hold that many in the game, because I think the coin counter tops out at $99.99.
Oh.
Yeah.
So.
Wait, that's how much that stupid skeleton costume or whatever costs.
Yep.
Great.
So. You got to max out the coin counter to get Mario's skeleton.
Whoa. You'd think that would come for free, but, you know, I guess not.
You can probably get done within an hour, maybe half an hour, easily.
Yeah. So, and this content update also added three new costumes. There's like a suit, like a gangster style suit that Mario can wear. There's a suit of armor, and then there is a Mario Sunshine themed outfit.
Mario.
It's the best one.
So, and I think they've said that there will be more outfits coming in the future in the game. So that hints at maybe more updates for Mario Odyssey before all is said and done. Looking around on the internet earlier today, I saw something that maybe hinted at user reviews coming to the eShop.
Hmm.
Great. Nothing says the internet more like giving people the power to review your product.
Well, I think the Wii U also allowed you to do some sort of, you know, like thumbs up, thumbs down type review on games after you'd played it a certain amount of time.
You can already do that on the eShop for the 3DS, I know. Like, you can give 1 to 5 stars on a game.
Yeah, after you've played it for, I think, over 2 hours, you can do that. It's the same thing here. This was on, people had noticed on Nintendo.com that Dragon Quest Builders had a review this game option. And if you click on that, it checks to see whether your Nintendo Network ID or your Nintendo account has the game, and if you've played it for at least 2 hours. And then if you do, you're allowed to review the game. But it puts a little disclaimer on there that says, all reviews are from verified players, but Nintendo does not endorse any reviews on this site.
Huh. Wait, so, all right, so there's something more in this than just the reviews, because the fact that it's checking to know your play data or your play length. Well, never mind, because all of that information stored when you look at your friends. I just wish there was some sort of confirmation that your save data was being backed up to some extent, or I don't know.
Yeah, you're Nintendo's not doing for cloud a lot saves. From Nintendo right there.
No. It made me think of how are they storing that information server side to know your length when you go to it from a website, but then I just started thinking, man, if you look at anybody's friend ID on the Switch, it tells you how long they've played specific games.
Mm-hmm.
Or it gives you a general idea of how long.
They've played this game for more than 5 hours.
Don't get me started.
So, yeah, it looks like maybe we're going to get some user reviews for Switch games going forward. And then the last news story I want to talk about were the DICE Awards were this week. And people saw a lot of Nate Bildorf from Nintendo because he accepted every single award that Nintendo won. And they won 11 awards at DICE.
Who? Nate Bildorf?
Yeah, he's one of their localization higher-ups.
I didn't know the guy.
For a while back during like the Wii, he and Bill Trennan were actually on stage at things like E3 a lot together.
I've probably seen him and just don't recognize his name then.
Yeah, you'd probably recognize him if you saw him. But many, many games on Nintendo systems, you will see his name in the localization section of the credits. But Nintendo won 11 different awards at DICE this week, and I just wanted to go through those really quickly. Game of the Year, they won for Breath of the Wild. Breath of the Wild won Outstanding Achievement in Game Direction, Outstanding Achievement in Game Design, and Adventure Game of the Year. So Breath of the Wild won 4 awards by itself.
Did it win Goblin Clicker?
It did not win Goblin Clicker.
Man.
No. Mobile Game of the Year
this year.
Mobile Game of the Year went to Fire Emblem Heroes. Handheld Game of the Year went to Samus Returns.
Yeah.
The DICE Sprite Award went to Snipper Clips.
Wait, is that sponsored by Sprite?
I think it might be.
Okay. Well, you know what? It's expensive to have an award show. Okay.
Strategy Game of the Year went to Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle.
Okay.
Huh.
Mario Kart 8 won Racing Game of the Year.
Game came out multiple years ago, but okay.
It also came out this last year, technically, on the Switch.
It's weird that a re-release is eligible for awards like that. Whatever.
Family Game of the Year went to Snipper Clips, and Outstanding Achievement in Sound Design went to Mario Odyssey.
So how was Snipper Clips so lemony limey? Like, what was so sprite about it? Like, what is that category? Or does it mean sprite like the characters are sprites?
I think that's it.
Okay, that makes more sense. Like, if it's the Sprite Award, like, how are you so sprite?
The DICE Sprite Award shall be awarded to a game having disproportionate resources for development exposure, representing a higher degree of risk tolerance and advances our media with innovative gameplay and experiences.
Okay, that has nothing to do with soda. That's fine.
That would have been awesome. I hate it when fact checking makes my, you know, breaks my heart.
You want the Sprite Award?
I mean, sure, why not?
Because then 7-Up has to give an award because they can't, they gotta keep pace with Sprite, and then pretty soon we have the soda
Mountain Dew Ice.
And, yeah, everyone's given an award. Like, I heard the Dr. Pepper game of the year.
Well, haven't they done stuff like that at the Game Awards?
I mean, yeah, you got, like, I mean, if they
want the Doritos award or whatever.
If they want to make that show happen, they need money, so sponsorship is the way to make that happen. Like, I get it. Doesn't maybe like it anymore, but, you know.
So, well, there you go. Nintendo won a lot of awards at DICE this year.
How many did Sprite get?
Sprite did not apparently win any awards, which makes me sad.
Yeah. There's always next year.
Maybe. If Sprite makes a game, I'll play it.
Yay.
I mean, I've played video games based on baked beans, so I will play a Sprite.
Bush's board. Bean Dash was great, okay? I don't hear anything else about it. We'll not hear, stay here, listen to somebody say the Bush's Bean Dash was not a fun game.
Oh, it was it is a very fun game. So, and I've played, what was Doritos that did the, you know, Wipeout style game on the Xbox?
Doritos Crash Course?
Yes.
Oh.
I played a lot of that.
Not as high quality as Bush's Bean Dash, but still. Still fun to be had.
So, Doritos, you know, made a few video games.
Yeah, that dinosaur thing or whatever.
Yeah. So, but that's it for the news. So, let's move on to listener feedback this week. And our first one comes from Matthew via Facebook, who has a couple of questions for us. First, what's your favorite dog in a video game? His is Rush from Mega Man.
That's a good one. Koromaru from Persona 3 is another good one.
Yeah.
Everyone has tried in their life to shoot the Duck Hunt dog because he laughs at you. I don't know if that makes him a good dog.
Doesn't mean he's a favorite. It just means they want to shoot him.
Yeah. Favorite to love to hate him kind of thing.
Exactly.
I would say my favorite is probably Rusty from Rusty's Real Deal Baseball.
That poor guy.
He's got kids to feed.
Just buy this game. Come on, dude. Do me a favor.
Let's see. What other dogs in video games are there? There's the Fable dog.
What else? Can't think of a lot. What?
Why are you sending us pictures of dogs with boxing gloves, Ethan?
What? All right. Audio podcast. Let's move on.
We're supposed to say anything, Tony.
Oh, I'm sorry. He also wants to know if we can bring back the Noid. Yes, that's the correct answer.
Ooh.
That's not a power that we here at Nintendo Oki are allowed to have.
Again, I would like to say I will happily go and start a GoFundMe. I make no guarantees, only that I'll try.
So there's some history behind the Noid that maybe you not might, but you might want to go read a wiki article. There's a reason the Noid has kind of been lost to time. I will not get into the details here, but it has involved mentally disturbed people and the loss of life. So,
oh my,
yeah, it's dark.
Well, in that case, it's probably not a good idea to bring him back.
Yeah, I don't think the Noid is coming back anytime soon. Sorry.
Zachary via Facebook says, I've been listening to the podcast for almost a year, along with the Joe Rogan podcast and Super Best Friend cast and a few others. Your podcast was a good lighthearted gaming podcast to listen to at work. What made you guys want to start up a podcast? Congrats on 400 plus episodes.
Well, we were talking to our good friend Joe Rogan and he's like, you guys should do a show. I'm like, God, Joe, come on.
World domination was tossed around and this seemed like the way to go.
Yeah. I mean, we're slowly taking over the world through our podcast.
Man. I didn't realize that was an option.
If it was, we're not doing fantastic at that.
I am way too lazy to take over anything, much less the world.
I don't want to be in charge of the world.
No. Mm-hmm.
So, that is not a responsibility I want to have. So, no, it basically came down to us just wanting to talked to each other about video games and we decided to record it for some reason.
Yeah, like we started in December, like December 16th or something like that, like right before Christmas, like great timing.
We picked the best time to start a podcast.
We probably should have never even made it to episode 3, but somehow here we are at 403. So I think
episode 1 literally starts with a fire engine sound. So
I think this podcast is actually terrible. Nobody told us, so we just kind of kept going. I'm joking.
So
the first episode did start with a fire truck pulling out next to Tony's house.
Yep. So that tells you just how good this show's going to be. It started on fire. It's been that way ever since. So, Sam via Facebook wants to know, if there was an Avengers-style Nintendo movie, which characters would you like to see in it? We'll limit it to 6 characters. So, if there was a Nintendo Cinematic Universe where they all came together to fight crime...
I'm kind of getting to the point with superhero movies anymore where I'm just sick of it because they just keep making them, like whether or not they're good or not. I'm kind of turning Star Wars to any sort of superhero movie at this point.
Yeah.
So that's worth noting. Mario, Link, Samus, Kirby,
Mega Man.
We'll Pikachu, throw him in there, even though he's not. And Kid Icarus, not, or Pit. No, Mega Man is not Nintendo. He's Capcom.
That's true.
Is this for our own personal choices or?
No, you're picking the 6 endorsed choices that only are allowed. Of course, it's your own personal choices. Like, what are you talking about?
I don't know. All right. So Tingle, Tom Nook.
You lead with Tingle. Man leads with Tingle. Man knows what he wants.
Tingle has a dog. That goes back to the dog question.
Does he? Is the dog in tights?
Yes,
of course. Of course.
I don't know. Tingle, Tom Nook, so, Villager.
Absolutely is.
Isabel.
Patrick, you just want Animal Crossing with Tingle.
And.
Tortimer?
No, let's say Samus.
Oh, okay. Animal Crossing with. Animal Crossing with Samus and Tingle.
And Rusty. Don't forget Rusty.
Rusty. Trying to sell hardware to Tingle. I don't know.
I think Rusty would have a home in an Animal Crossing game. Like I think
he fits.
If they're ever going to bring back the video games to which they'll never do, they'll never bring back the games in your basement. But if they were going to do it, Rusty's the guy to be the guy at that shop, or to be the seasonal
totally
or limited character that just shows up once a month.
Totally, and it's not like they couldn't do like some sort of retro style, like it's Mario Brothers ish kind of mini game thing replaced with like Animal Crossing sprites. They could totally do something like that where he could sell you a game or something like that. That would be awesome.
Yep.
All right. Cole via Facebook wants to know, what's the best dessert?
Cookies. I love cookies, man. The cookies always work.
I'm a big fan of banana pudding.
Banana pudding's great. There's a million different kinds of desserts that would work great.
I'd say key lime pie.
Man, both of those are pretty good.
See, this is why I just said cookies, because it's easy.
You know what? I'm just going to go with cupcakes, because it doesn't matter what I pick. I'm going to eat whatever's dessert that's good.
Yeah,
cupcakes are just a... quick and easy thing you can have.
You put any of these in front of me, I'm going to eat them.
They can even have cookies in them.
Cookies.
Cookies with cookies on top?
They've made that. Oreo has made that. Cookie butter cookies.
Yeah, I know.
Oreo also made an Oreo-flavored cookie.
You are not wrong.
Chip Ahoy. Oreo-flavored Chips Ahoy.
Those were not that good.
They were not good at all.
He also wants to know, can we name a video game that has pizza in it? every Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Anti-TMNT game.
And then, have you made a cake in Minecraft yet?
Made a cake in real life? Does that count?
Not in our current game.
I have yet to survive a single day-night cycle in Minecraft, so I'm going to say no.
I have made a cake in Minecraft.
What do you got to dig up? So how much dirt do you got to dig up to make a cake?
It doesn't use any dirt, actually.
Okay, well, good.
So
it uses sand so you can grow your sugar cane.
That's right.
And dirt so you can grow your wheat.
That's true. It does involve dirt in that case.
You have to grow things?
Yes.
So it's like Farming Simulator, and you just ultimately make a cake that's just a block, probably?
Yep.
That's weird.
Tony built a farm underground once.
I did.
There's no sun underground. How did that work?
You built a sun? I built light shafts that went down to the...
He had to tunnel down through the ground and then put glass so that way the snow wouldn't fall in.
Yep.
Huh.
I really want to like Minecraft. Everything you're saying sounds like fun.
I just can't find that tutorial. I've looked everywhere.
There should be a tutorial world somewhere in the menu.
All I've found is like a instruction thing that's all it is a menu with written instructions, and I've tried.
You know what? We're going to FaceTime eventually, and I'm going to make you go through menus, and we're going to figure this out.
Okay.
Don't worry, Shannon. I spent probably a good 20 minutes in Titanfall 2 running around because, like, I'm supposed to go over there, but I'm in this giant robot, and he can't fit, and I couldn't figure out how to get out of the giant robot, so... That,
then
again,
he figured out he was in multiplayer mode.
No, you have to hold square to get out. I pushed every button on that controller multiple times. There was nothing in the menu that said, here's the controls!
Took me a while they just assumed you had played the first game.
Yeah, well, I did not. So
they were wrong. And then lastly, Lang wants to know, what's the best desert?
Antarctica. It's a big, big one.
Is it the best?
It's the best because it's the biggest.
It's also got polar bears.
They're Antarctica? I don't think polar bears. I don't think that's the North Pole. I don't think there are polar bears in Antarctica. I think that's
pretty
inaccurate.
Sure.
Are there?
Pretty sure there are.
Maybe
there
sounds
are.
Like a question for the internet.
How'd they get there? It's they can't. I guess they can swim, but.
So what? What defines the best desert? Are we just going by, like, kilometers squared or our favorite? I don't know. What defines the best desert?
I guess it's a subjective. Which desert do you like the most?
Bears live at the North Pole, or polar bears live at the North Pole. Penguins live at the South Pole.
Well, I was wrong.
There are no polar bears in Antarctica. Yeah. Polar bears Mars. Have never met penguins except in TV commercials drinking soda.
Mars.
Ooh, good one.
The Modlandia Desert. The largest desert.
That's not true. Antarctica is the largest desert.
Totally is.
Antarctica is a continent! How can it be bigger? What desert is this? The internet is wrong. what did you say the name of this desert is?
Modlandia?
Modlandia.
Modlandia. I guess it is just the Antarctic Desert, and that's the proper name for it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine then. Okay. I'll let him have that one.
I'm just going to go with the Gobi Desert because it's got the coolest name, except for Modlandia.
Modlandia. sounds made up. It sounds like something out of Metal Gear.
I just mixed up Gobi's Desert with Gobi's Valley from Banjo-Kazooie.
I just think of Gobi fish. Big ol' eyes.
These fishes are so delicious. Got to get fish.
Modlandia. Zanzibar land.
Totally what it said. Right here.
I believe you. I just never heard that before. I'm surprised.
List of deserts by area.
What's number two?
That should be the Arctic.
I don't understand this. The internet is stupid.
So there you go. That is going to be the show for this week. If anybody out there has any comments, questions, feedback about anything you heard on the show this week, you can send that to podcast@nintendo-oki.com. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Nintendo_Oki. Head on over to YouTube, check out the stuff we've got going on over there, or come on over to the Facebook group and talk to us there. Thank you, Ethan, for being on the show this week.
New episode of Data Drain was posted Friday. Listen to it.
I was going to mention that if you didn't.
Yep.
Thank you, Shannon, for being on the show.
Pleasure as always.
And Shelby, as always, thank you for coasting this craziness.
You think if I had a pet penguin, I could like go to PetSmart and buy parakeet food to feed them?
I don't know that that would give them everything they need. Maybe.
That would probably fall under like exotic animal, and that would be like a specialty food needed. I don't know.
All right, well, I'll look into it. I want a pet penguin now. Maybe I should feed him dog food.
And having said that, we'll see everybody again in 7 days.
Just Google "We Take a Bath with a Buddy" edition.
I saw someone posted a picture of a Wii Mini the other day.
Googling "Take a Bath with a Buddy."
Probably not a good idea.
Safe search better be on that.
No, it's not. It's not that bad, but it definitely doesn't give me what I'm looking for. You really should. I should really think about these things before I Google them. That could have went real bad, huh?